We come to you again today with brief studies on this great truth of being a disciple of the Savior. We've been following through for a few lessons on who and what is a real disciple of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to take the privilege again of repeating some things because I would certainly love to have the truth real in your heart, in my heart. You remember that I have made some very strong statements in discussing this subject. I want you to know again that a person can be related to the Savior, be a child of God, and yet not be a real disciple of our Lord. I am sure that as our Lord walked among men, there were more than just 12 men who followed him. But there were those who really believed in the Lord, but were not real disciples. A disciple is one who is a believer, of course, but who has real affection. Christ is the center of his love and affection and devotion, and he's obedient to the Word of God. And we found that there were certain evidences of one who was a real disciple. And what I did really, to be frank with you, in my study of this, I just took the New Testament and I read every verse where the word disciple was used. And I've picked out of that these few things to draw your attention to the tremendous responsibility that one assumes when they become a real disciple of the Savior. For example, we said affection for the person of Christ and obedience to the word of Christ. This is a definition of a real New Testament disciple. And the first one was obedience. If I'm a real disciple of Christ, my life will not be filled with disobedience to the word of God. I'll be obedient. And some men have been hindered from being real disciples because of the pull of the world, and some because of fleshly relationships. One thing or another comes in the way of one giving themselves entirely over to being a disciple of the Savior. And then we found in John's Gospel, chapter 8, we found that abiding in the Word of God is an evidence of being a real disciple. How can I indeed obey the Word of God if I do not stay in the Word of God? For this is where I find what He wants me to do, the Word of God. That's why our Lord in the first Psalm meditated day and night upon the Word of God. Oh, in some way I wish I could get into your heart, and may I add into my own heart, something of the tremendous importance of the Word of God in our lives. If you abide in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then we found fruit-bearing was an evidence of discipleship in John 15:8. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Then another evidence is that Christ must come before others. He must come before self. He must come before things. And we found that in the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Then we found the badge of discipleship was love. Just as the Lord loves us, we ought to love each other. Talking about believers now. And you read our Lord said in that same passage in John chapter 13, if we love one another as he has loved us. He goes on to say, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So shall you be my disciples. And then we found also there were some advantages in being a disciple. And in our last lesson we took up this question of the revelation of the person and purpose of Christ is only given to disciples. And I went to Mark chapter 4, 34, and Matthew chapter 16, from 16 on, where we find that when the Lord had his disciples, these men alone with himself, he revealed his person, his purpose, his program, and his return. And I tell you very frankly, the reason why so many Christians know so little of Christ is because they're not real disciples of the Savior. Again, I would like to press upon you the fact the impossibility of obeying him, of bearing fruit to his glory, of having love as the driving force in your life, divine love. As I said, in speaking of this fact, not only do we have an imparted life when we accept a Savior, but we also have the impartation of divine love. And as I read in Romans chapter 5, the fifth verse, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Now, I would like today to go a little further. He calls disciples to be his fellow workers. Now, I remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the ninth verse, the Apostle Paul, you remember in that passage, by the way, has been talking about the fact that we're workers together with God. One plants, another waters, but it's God who gives the increase. So then he that planteth is nothing, and he that watereth is nothing, but it's God who giveth the increase, for we are workers, laborers together with God. In other words, we're on God's team. We're God's fellow workers. This may have been partially in John's mind when he wrote in 1 John 1:3, when he said, I'm writing these things, what for? That you can have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship. And this word fellowship means a union not only in fellowship or of walking together, but also in purpose and in service. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like today to talk about this question. The advantages of being a disciple. And with your permission, I would like to go back to the Gospel through Luke chapter 9, which gives to me a very simple yet wonderful illustration of this fact of the responsibility of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, I'm reading from Luke's Gospel because Luke gives us more detail than the other three Gospels. And may I just say in passing, the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Christ which is recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of them record this miracle. Quite a few of the miracles that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are not in John. Some of that are in John are not in the other books. But this one miracle is in all four books. So there must be tremendous import to it. Let me read it to you. The people followed him, and I'm down into verse 11. And they followed him into a desert place right close to a city called Bethsaida. And the Lord Jesus healed them that had need of healing. Now then, verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals. For we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, You feed them, give you them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for this whole crowd. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to the disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. That would make it 100 companies of men, 50 men to a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. You know, in reading this story through, which I have done so often, I'm ever amazed at this fact that the Lord did not call for volunteers, but he drafts his disciples. Do you remember the disciples had come, the 12 had said, Why don't you send the crowd away? These people have been with us all day long in this desert place. Now let's send them away so they can get something to eat. There's nothing here to feed them. There are no stores, there are no towns, there are no villages here. Why don't you send them back to the towns and so they can get something to eat? And Jesus said, Why don't you feed them? Why don't you feed them? I make you fellows responsible to feed this crowd. why they said we can't do that. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 6, when the Lord asked Philip about this, Philip said, "Well, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough to feed this crowd, for there are about 5,000 men." And Jesus said, "Make them sit down by 50s in a company." Now, you notice just one or two things here. First of all, he drafts disciples. Now, if the Lord Jesus had been an American expert, efficiency expert, he would have called, he would have had them all sit down. He has 100 companies of men, 50 men to a company. You can just see this tremendous crowd of men. And they're all hungry. They've been all day without food. And one version says there was not only 5,000 men, but there were many women and children. But be that as it may, I'm not concerned about the number as I am this fact, that he said to the disciples, "You feed them." Why, they said, "Lord, you're asking an impossibility." Why didn't the Lord call for volunteers? You know, I heard a liberal one time say that it was very easy. The Lord just had them all sit down. Some of them had brought some grub, and he had said to them, "Now share one with another. If you've brought a lunch with you, you share it with your neighbor," so they were all filled. That's not the story. Jesus said to the 12, "You feed them." The responsibility of being a disciple. The Lord calls disciples. This is the responsibility of disciples. Feed the crowd. You feed them. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They were looking at circumstances. They were looking at their supply. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. 5,000 men. Lord, how in the world are you going to feed 5,000 men on a boy's lunch? 5 loaves, 5 tortillas, 2 little wee fish. And Jesus said, "You bring them to me." And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did all eat and were all filled. Let me just stop here for a few moments, may I? If you are a disciple of the Savior, if you claim to be a real disciple of our Lord, having real affection for the person of Christ, willing to be obedient to what he asks you to do, he calls upon you. He gives you the responsibility of feeding the crowds. You have a message, a spiritual message to give to hungry people. And believe me, my friend, you're surrounded by thousands of hungry people. They don't know for what they are hungry, but they're hungry. They've got a spiritual need. And God doesn't say to every member of the church, "You go out and do this." He said it to disciples, "You feed them. You feed them." You mean God doesn't call for volunteers? No, sir. No, sir. He drafts disciples. Can you tell me any place in the Bible where the Lord calls for volunteers? You say, "Why, of course, don't you remember Isaiah chapter 6? Yes, Isaiah chapter 6, you remember? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple," and so on. And you remember what he said? Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King." And an angel came and touched his lips, and he says, "Thy iniquity is purged, your sin is forgiven." Then I heard a voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who shall go for us?" And Isaiah answered, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Now you see, Mr. Mitchell, there you are now. There was a call. No, my friend. He said this to just one man. There was only one man in the congregation when God said, "Whom shall I send? Whom shall I go for us?" There was only one man there to respond. And you notice that he wasn't given a challenge to go out and give the word of God and become God's messenger before he had his lips cleansed and his sin purged. See, friend, when you and I accept the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to love Him, and we do love Him, and we're in His Word, you're going to find that God's going to challenge you to a responsibility of passing the truth on to somebody else. I want this very clear in your mind concerning this. He didn't call for volunteers. You give them to eat. And when their eyes were upon circumstances, when their eyes were upon what they had, they said, Lord, we can't do a thing. Now notice, he said, give me the bread and the fish. And he blessed it and gave it back to the disciples. Now their eyes are not on the bread and fish. Their eyes are not on the crowds. They're going to be obedient and feed the crowd. And as they give the bread out, it multiplied. But you see, their eyes were no longer on their circumstances, but upon Christ. When their eyes were upon circumstances, on what they had, they couldn't do anything. But when their eyes were upon whom they had, my friend, they could have fed 10,000. You see, friend, when the Lord gives a command, when the Lord asks us to do anything for Him as His disciple, He always provides the necessary means to meet that need. The Lord is not going to send you and me on a wild goose chase. He's not going to ask us to do anything that can't be done. He's not going to ask you to go here or go there without supplying that which you need to do the job He wants you to do. If you look at yourself, you won't go to first base. If you look at our circumstances, we'll faint. We get our eyes on whom we have, then my friend, makes no difference what he asks. This is the key of Christian service. Will you please that? So he takes what we give him, then he multiplies it. The trouble is this, we're not willing to give him what we have. The little lad, if I may go to John chapter 6, the little lad gave up what he had. What did he give up? He gave up his lunch. And by the way, that was a miracle for a boy to go all day long and not eat his lunch. You know that. And then at the end of the day, he's willing to give up his lunch. When Andrew said, there's a lad here and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the boy, do you think the boy lost anything by giving it up to the Lord? Not a bit of it. Listen, friend, I don't care how much you give to the Lord, but I'll tell you one thing. The Lord is never, never going to be in your debt. The Lord will never be in your debt. And what you give to Him, He will multiply. Now, I'm not talking too much about monetary things. I know there's some tracts written which say, if you give so much to the Lord, He'll multiply it. That's not true unless you amplify what He means by what He's going to give you. Don't get the idea if you give the Lord $100, He's going to give you $1,000 back. The Lord will never be in your debt. He'll take care of you. No question about that. The boy gave up his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he was numbered among the ones that were all filled. And I have a little wee notion in my mind that he had a half a basket full afterwards. I think he shared his. I think he shared with Andrew the basket that Andrew had. I've got no ground for that except I'm sure that little fella, when he gave up his 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I'm sure he tagged right along with Andrew and with his mouth wide open as he saw the bread multiplying and the fish multiplying. Everybody was filled, the boy too. What I'm trying to get at to you is the responsibility of being a disciple. The Lord did not call for volunteers. He drafts disciples. And I'm just warning you that if you come to that place where you're going to be a real disciple of the Lord, and God grant you will be, to be in love with the Savior and be obedient to His Word will be the great joy of your life. And then to see the Lord take you and the gifts He's given to you, you give them back to Him and He'll multiply them and use you to the praise of the glory of His grace. And the great multitudes of starved people, spiritually starved, you'll be able to be a channel in the hands of God of reaching them for Christ. I just pray the Lord will make this little simple story very, very clear, very real to your heart. He drafts disciples. Oh, friend, would to God that every one of us today would be in that place where the Lord Jesus Christ indeed will be the very center of our affection and our devotion. And then, as we abide in the Word of God, we begin to find out how He wants us to live, how He wants us to serve, how He wants us to glorify Him. Now may the Lord bless you today, and may you enjoy Christ, not for what you receive from Him, but enjoy the Lord just for Himself. My, how He loves to have you come into His presence, because He loves you for the perfect everlasting love, and He just yearns for your fellowship. May that be your portion today.